Angie Sutter, Vice President of Grain with Citizens Elevator in Charlotte, Michigan.
Angie, let's begin with yesterday's USDA numbers and the forecast for U.S. corn and soybean production increasing, obviously bearish to the marketplace. Were there some aspects of the numbers that surprised you, or did you kind of see this one coming?
No, the soybean number, you could say we saw it coming. Most traders were anticipating a relatively high number. The average trade estimate was about a half a bushel lower than what the USDA came out with, but overall, that wasn't shocking. That portion wasn't. The corn yield was a bit surprising. We had seen some consolidation around the August USDA estimate, with the thought process being we'd probably see a slight reduction in yields due to the warmer, drier July-August weather that we had experienced overall. So the yield number and the subsequent increase in production was more shocking, I think, or surprising to the market than anything else.
The obvious question seems to be right now, how much lower can these markets go? You have the bearish USDA numbers. You have the trade uncertainty. What's your outlook here, and what's going to potentially be moving the market as we move into harvest? Obviously, weather's going to play a big part there, but between now and then, what are you watching?
Just definitely keeping our eye on what happens with trade. It looks like we may be within an arm's reach of getting something solved with NAFTA, which would be fantastic and kind of give perhaps a push in the right direction maybe when it comes to Chinese negotiation, indicate that we're actually getting something accomplished or that we're working in the right direction towards trade resolution. So we'll definitely be monitoring that. And then actual yield numbers, I'm hearing a lot of stories right now of farmers running yield checks and then actually being kind of disappointed once they get out into the field. Sort of the opposite effect of what we saw a year ago, which was yield expectations being relatively low and then being surprised once the combine got running. So we'll definitely be paying attention to what happens there. I'm going to be watching the cash market more than anything. Basis will give us an indication as to whether or not that grain is really flowing as expected.
And with the possibility of trade resolutions, how much recovery could we see, whether it's Canada returning to NAFTA or we hear some really promising news on China? How much of a recovery do you think we could see in the corn and soybean markets?
It's definitely going to have to be paired with what we see develop on the cash side, you know, via actual sales put in place and firming of basis levels or something of that nature. But I would imagine just through hopeful optimism, you could see, you know, maybe 50 cents added back to soybeans and 20 cents or so added back to corn just out of pure happiness. But of course, all of that's going to hinge on whether or not we see yields match or exceed current USDA estimates and see the cash market, you know, kind of chew through some of this overabundance of supply we're currently expecting.
I talked to a leader with the Minnesota Soybean Growers earlier this week, and he was frustrated with the basis situation, scratching his head about how wide basis continues to be. What's your explanation for that, and how do you see that possibly changing throughout harvest?
Basis is a function of local supply and demand, and if you have really no outlet for an oversupply of old crop supplies, which we saw, we have an overabundance of old crop stocks sitting on hand when you look into the Dakotas, northern Iowa, Minnesota, and parts of Wisconsin. So, of course, you're going into harvest with space already half full, or in some cases, three quarters of the way, or even, you know, mostly full. No one anticipated the trade war itself really to kind of deplete opportunity. You know, after all, we've seen the Pacific Northwest go to almost no bid. There's really no outlet for the oversupply that we have. So basis at this point in time, you know, is really going to be a function of trying to get as much value out of your storage space as you can get. And the reality is it's probably going to stay pretty wide until we find a way to kind of deplete the pipeline that we currently have on hand.
And the person that I talked to pointed to transportation costs as a criticism of where basis stands today. You talked about the local supply and demand situation that plays the biggest part, but what about transportation costs, Angie?
Transportation costs will factor into it, but transportation costs to Chicago have little to do with what values are being paid in Minnesota. After all, I know you want to look at what's going on in the futures market and take your cash price and figure that whatever it takes you to get beans or corn or whatever it may be to Chicago, would be the value that you would get, but that's not really how it works. I mean, it obviously has to be able to go to a facility somewhere. And if the bid is wide at that facility or into the river market, for instance, because of the overabundance of supply, it's going to be however wide that bid is plus the freight cost to get it there. So it's a little frustrating, yes, but it's really a function of the market. And like I said before, basis is a function of local supply and demand.
Anything else you want to make sure we talk about today?
No, just growers being prepared if they are in an area where there isn't, you know, if they're concerned about going to no bid, it wouldn't hurt to be communicating with your elevator manager and making sure that you are speaking for space if you're worried about where you're going to be able to take your harvest supplies.